This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Bruchim Abba and welcome everyone. We're continuing our Shiur Man Sefer Bamidbar. The Shiur Man Bamidbar are generously sponsored by our good friend Dr. Zakheim Umishpachta, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rav Shlomo Eliezer ben Rav Yaakov Zakheim, and Le'iloi Nishmas, Dr. Zakheim's mother, Rivka Bas Tuvia Levi, Began Eden Tehimenu Chasam, they should be Melissa Yisham for their whole family, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. The Shiur Man Sefer Bamidbar are also generously sponsored by my dear friend Rabbi Isaac Yosilovsky, Le'iloi Nishmas, Isaac's father, Shavsi Ram Yitzchak Isaac, whose yard site was Tesvav Sivan. Tonight's shiur is sponsored by one of our leading campaigners in this year's campaign, Mrs. Yehudit Herman, in honor of her mother's fifth yard site on Tesvav Tammuz, Chaya Harriet Bas Label. Her Nesham Shamaliyah should be a Melitza Yishar for her whole family, for Simchas Anachas, Ad Bias Goel Tzedek. I'm going to begin with a disclaimer that the views presented in this year do not necessarily reflect the views of the sponsors. So, nor do they need to reflect your view. Actually, I want to thank my good friend Rabbi Nissen Yachnis, who's a very well-respected Rebbe and Mechanech, who's been asking me to speak about this topic for some time. And I'll tell you the truth, I was very nervous to speak about this subject. And I'm still hesitant. And hinani herani, hinani herani mimas, nirash v'nifchad mipachad this subject. But Torah hi v'lomayd anu tzarech. And hopefully we could present this topic in the appropriate way for our times and our generation. Moshe Rabbeinu is commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to speak to the rock, to talk to the rock. And Rashi explains the rock got mixed up. So Moshe couldn't exactly find the rock. So what did Moshe do? Moshe hit the rock. Moshe was punished. He wasn't allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Now the truth is, this is not Moshe's first interaction with the rock. And don't say, oh yeah, there's another time Moshe had an interaction with the rock when he said, Rock hi shamar lecha. No, I'm talking about a stone. Okay? Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas B'Shalach, there he was told to hit the rock. In this week's Parsha, he was told to speak to the rock. So the Yalkut Shemoini draws a lesson of teaching children from the two commands that Moshe was given in terms of how to interact with the rock. In this week's Parsha, Moshe is told, speak to the rock. The Yalkut Shemoini says that Moshe was not told to hit the rock. The Yalkut Shemoini says like this, when a child is young, the Rebbe, the father hits the child and teaches him. When the child gets older, he reprimands him with words. So too, Hashem tells Moshe, when the rock was small, when young, hit the rock. Now that the rock has matured, now speak to the rock. So the Medrash seems to be drawing an analogy of how to deal with children from how Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to deal with the rock. When the rock was small, when the rock was young, you hit the rock. When the rock grows older, then you talk to the rock. Children also. When the child is young, a poor patch, as they say. You know, a few slaps, the Medrash is saying. When the child is older, then you speak to the child. Now I'm going to give a number of disclaimers. The first disclaimer is, for all you out there who enjoy taking clips of my hour shiur, and like playing 30 seconds or 1 minute, I don't mind by any shiur, but not this year. This year, you can only, no clipping my shiur this year, okay? You need to hear the entire thing. Furthermore, you're going to write emails, messages. I don't want to hear any messages until you hear all the shiurim we gave so far in Chinuch. Means we gave 30 different ingredients in Chinuch. We did 10 commandments of Chinuch, part 1, 2, 3, plus the 5 things you need to emphasize. Once you've mastered that, I welcome all questions, comments, and challenges. But please appreciate what we're learning tonight in the context of everything we've learned so far. So the Medrash does seem to be saying there's a time to reprimand with physical force, and there's a time to reprimand with words. In fact, Shlomo HaMelech, the wisest of all men, famously says, Chosech Shivtai Soinei Benai. You know what that means? Spear the rod, hate the child. You ever hear that expression? Spear the rod, hate the child. Va'oyavoy shichre moser. Love the child, rebuke the child. If you don't have if you hate your child, you're going to spare the rod. You're not going to enforce rebuke. You're not going to physically rebuke. Furthermore, in Mishlei Perek Chav Gimel, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Shlomo HaMelech says, Al timna minar moser, do not refrain from rebuking the child. Ki sakenu bashevet, if you hit him with a stick, what's going to happen already? Lo yomos, he's not going to die. Again, that's what Shlomo HaMelech says. Now, this is not something, you know, you're going to broadcast in the 21st century. That's why it's just between me and you, right? But and whoever, maybe a few people who are listening, right? But these are the words of Shlomo HaMelech. Again, don't cut in, you know, you have to listen to everything we're saying tonight. Don't take anything out of context. Furthermore, Shlomo HaMelech says, Shevet v'soychachas yitein chachma. The rod, rebuke, instills wisdom. Venar meshulach, but a lad that is self-indulgent, mevish imai, he embarrasses the mother. A self-indulgent child embarrasses the mother. Why not the father? So there's an interesting idea that when a child misbehaves, the mother is the one who takes it to heart. When the child does well, the father is the one who takes the pride. That's the human psychology. That Medrash brings us in a number of places. So basically, Shlomo HaMelech is saying that even though at first, you know, at first glance, you would think, you know, if you love the child, you buy the kid chewing gum, jelly beans, taffy. And if you hate the child, so then you make sure the child goes to sleep on time and eats a lot of celery and brushes his teeth. But Shlomo HaMelech is saying, no, it's not like that. If you spear the rod and you don't rebuke the child, that means you hate the child. Nobody hates their child. It means you don't really love the child. You don't really want to do what's in the best interest of the child. And frighteningly, the Shemois Rabbah records from the beginning of time, great people, the greatest tzaddikim and giants who ever lived, and nevertheless, because they didn't rebuke their children with enough force, there were terrible repercussions. And the Medrash gives a number of examples. Okay, so now, if you're a guy who likes to listen to like 5 or 10 minute shiurim, this is, please turn off the shiur right now. Do not listen to the shiur. Because you can't listen to the shiur unless you're going to hear the whole thing. Okay, unless you're going to stay till the end. If your attention span is like 6.5 minutes, I'll send you a few 6.5 minute clips, and that will be good for you. This is not the shiur for you. But anyway, the Medrash says on the pasuk Chosech Shivtai Soinei Benai, spare the rod, hate the child, that there was a man by the name of Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu had a child. His first child was Yishmael, and Yishmael, you know, was a daddy's kid. Yishmael had gaguim for his father. Avraham Avinu really treated Yishmael with great affection and great love. But because Avraham did not reprimand Yishmael, Yishmael left the straight and the narrow. And in the end, Avraham ended up hating him, and he had to throw him out of the house. What had happened to Yishmael? He became an idolater. So says the Medrash, you know what it means? If you hate your child, you don't reprimand him. Case in point, Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu didn't reprimand Yishmael. Yishmael ended up rebelling, and Avraham ended up hating him. The Medrash continues, Yitzchak Avinu loved Esav. That's why Esav went off the path. That's why Esav left the observance of Torah and Mitzvahs. And he became so wicked that he lived with an Nar Murasa, and he became a murderer, and he was Kofer B'tchias HaMisim, and he was Kofer B'Iker. Why? Because Yitzchak did not rebuke him. Yitzchak never gave him physical rebuke. So Esav became a wicked person. And who did he team up with? The last guy who wasn't rebuked by his father. Who's that? Yishmael. So, you know, Esav found in Yishmael a kindred soul, another child who his father bought him a lot of chewing gum, but never set him on the right path. Furthermore, the Medrash says that David HaMelech never reprimanded Avshalom. And therefore Avshalom went Latar Basra, and Avshalom came close to killing his father. And Avshalom lived with his father's concubines. And because of Avshalom, tens of thousands of Jews died. Why? Because it was the philosophy of David HaMelech, just love him. And what happened? He had a kid who became a misfit and wanted to try to kill him and violated his wives. However, says the Medrash, someone who rebukes their child, he increases love for him. What did Yitzchak do to Yaakov? Yitzchak reprimanded Yaakov. Yitzchak told Yaakov, get to the Beis Medrash. Make sure you're doing the right thing. And therefore, the Medrash says, Avraham reprimanded Yitzchak and he taught him Torah. And Yitzchak reprimanded Yaakov and he taught him Torah. So basically, the Medrash is teaching us that if you don't like your kid, then you're going to let him or her do what they choose to do. And if you love them, you're going to reprimand them. You're going to not spare the rod. Spare the rod, hate the child. Not only hate the child, you're setting the child up for disaster. You're setting the child up for a career of failure, physically, spiritually. So certainly the Psukim in Mishlei and the historical overview of the Medrash are very graphically teaching us that the welfare, the direction of a child is going to be dependent on the rebuke, but not just the rebuke, the shevet, the physical direction that is guided by the parent. So obviously the million-dollar question is, so we know what the Psukim say in Mishlei, we know what the Medrash outlines, the question is, does this really apply in our generation? You know, we're not living in the times of Avraham Avinu, in case you didn't know. We're not living in the times of King Solomon. We're not living in the times of the Medrash. We live now in the year of Tavshin Pei Gimel. So the question is, should that make a difference? After all, the Torah is eternal. And the values of the Torah are eternal. And they're not dependent on society. They're not dependent on social convention. And today, just because the atmosphere and the air is equality and egalitarianism, but does that affect the timeless wisdom of the Torah HaKadosh? Now, when we talk about Shlomo HaMelech saying, spare the rod, hate the child, what does Shlomo HaMelech obviously doesn't mean, you know, a baseball bat with spikes on it, right? No, that clearly that's not what he's referring to. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Amar Le Rav Le Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas. And again, if I don't intend any humor to disparage the issue. There are unfortunately parents that abuse the privilege, and it's abuse, and it's keneged the halacha, and it's literally ritzicha. But you know, that's just the style of the presentation. But even in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, he's not referring to a cruel type of torture, a cruel type of infliction of harm. Chas v'shalom. The Gemara in Bava Basra says, "And daf chaf alef amud alef, Amar le Rav le Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, ki machias li yenuka li timche el abar kesa de masana." If you're going to hit a kid, just use a shoelace. Okay, so you're not using a club, you're not using a bat, you're not using a strap. You're using a shoelace. What's a shoelace? It's very thin. It makes a loud noise, but it doesn't really hurt. Meaning, even when you're using physical force, it's with great rachamim. It's not something that will injure, chas v'shalim. And in fact, the Sefer Chassidim says that if somebody hits shaloi l'tzarech, if somebody hits for no reason, gadol avoyna minasai, the sin is too great to bear. So it's a terrible sin. It's as bad as talking by Chazar Sashatz. So you have two great sins in this world: to talk by Chazar Sashatz, and then to chas v'shalom hit a child for no reason. So the million-dollar question is: how does this advice of Shlomo HaMelech apply in our times? What? So you say, you know, let's ask the pedagogues. Let's ask the sociologists and the child psychologist. No, that's not the approach of Tarasena HaKadosha. We have to see what is the opinion of the Gedolei HaPoskim and the Gedolei Yisrael. Let us begin with the writing of Reb Chaim Knievsky. Reb Chaim Knievsky in the Orchos Yoshar takes a very literal approach of what Chazal are telling us. He was supposed to, they came out of Mitzrayim, they had nothing to drink. Hashem told Moshe, hit the rock. This time he told him, speak to the rock.
Also for drinking.
Yeah. Yeah. So Reb Chaim Knievsky says like this. He says in the Orchos Yoshar, he says, there are people in our times, they think you can't touch a kid. You don't touch them. They need to figure out everything on their own. Don't force them to do anything, and certainly don't hit them. Give them what they need. So, says Reb Chaim, it's incorrect, it's wrong. It's wrong al pi haTorah. Of course, you should not hit excessively, only very infrequently. Otherwise, you lose all effect you have on a child. But not to rebuke them at all. Reb Chaim Knievsky quotes the Yushalmi in Chalam, Reb Simon, those women that think, we're not going to force our kids to go learn in the Beis Medrash. The Yushalmi says they're not doing the right thing. But rather, you need to enforce that the children go learn, like the Pasuk says, spare the rod, hate the child. Says the Medrash, is there a person that hates their child? Yes, if somebody doesn't rebuke their child to go on the right path, the Derech of Chachma, the Derech of Derech Eretz, he is called someone who hates their child. However, says Reb Chaim Knievsky, you have to be careful not to hit harshly. Like the Gemara says in the Rambam Paskins, only with a shoelace. And never hit when you're angry. You're not allowed to hit when you're angry. If you're angry, you're not allowed to hit. Because you're not going to get any benefit. All your child's going to learn. You know what? You're going to teach your child a very valuable lesson. The lesson is that when you're angry, take out your anger physically on people smaller than you. You know, that's the only lesson you're going to impart if you hit when you're angry. And
Rabbi?
Yeah, I'm yes?
I'm sorry, the one small thing is just like I just, the key part to emphasize to a child, if you're trying to see the wrong way, right way, I'm saying they're better than that. They're just saying what they can be is not where they're at right now.
Okay.
And it being like hitting a physical.
Okay, let's, right now we're dealing with the literal and guidance of Shlomo HaMelech and the Gemara. So again, Reb Chaim says not to do so at a time of anger, not to do so at a time of frustration, but, and Reb Chaim Kansky quotes the Chazon Ish, that one of the greatest detriments in this world is if the Rebbe is lacking in good character. Because not only will he be ineffective in teaching Torah, but he'll basically be giving over bad character to his students. Because there's a statement in Chazal, people learn from your wrong, not from your right. So the worst thing in this world is a Rebbe with bad character. But the bottom line is, Reb Chaim Knievsky writes very clearly that despite the fact that we're living 2,000 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we're 3,300 years from the day the Torah was given on Har Sinai, and times are changed, and children feel like they're entitled. Nevertheless, Chazal are Chazal, the Pasuk is the Pasuk, Chosech Shivtai Sinai Benai. You hate your kid, you spare the rod. That is what Reb Chaim Knievsky writes, and it's well known. If you look in the Sefer Derech Sicha, Reb Chaim was asked, in our times, should one refrain from hitting a child? Are there times that you do have to hit? So Reb Chaim says, yeah, there are times that you have to hit. For example, what? If the child does a very big avla, but in other words, if the child does something very severe, so Reb Chaim said, the father has to act with great wisdom to know that he should hit only one time and only once in a very long time. So they asked Reb Chaim, what about somebody who it's not within their nature to hit a child? So Reb Chaim says, what about somebody who is not within their nature to shake a lulav and esrog? You know, you got to do what you got to do. Ain breira. So they asked Reb Chaim, but we heard Reb Shach holds that it used to be you could hit a child, but today you're not allowed to. Because today if you hit a child, the kid is going to be, he's going elsewhere. Says Reb Chaim, of course, you have to know who, where, what, and when. But it's the opinion of Reb Chaim, and it's well known Reb Chaim's shita was, that if the Torah gives a certain advice about child rearing, parenting, then it's pshuta kamashmai, it's timeless and it applies in all times. And in fact, Rav David Goldberg, Rosh Yeshiva of Telz, he quotes the Reb Chaim in the Orchos Yosher, and he applies it literally for our times as well. And it's interesting, Rav David Goldberg explains the need to use the Shevet in Kabbalistic terms. You know, the Chazal tell us that when a child is born, a malach comes and hits the child and he makes him forget the whole Torah. So therefore, says the Ramchal, in order, if the malach comes and hits the child, to sort of take the child off the right path and make him forget the Torah, to make him inclined to sin, then in order to get the kid back on the right path, then you need to use an equal counterforce also and hit the child. That's the Kabbalistic perspective on such a thing. However, so Rav David Goldberg, even though they say, oh, well, maybe Rav Chaim Knievsky, you know, he lived a very, very long time ago. He lived like 6 weeks ago. That was in a different generation. He lived in Bnei Brak. Rav David Goldberg, Rosh Shiva in America, and he applies Rav Chaim to our times as well. Of course, he gives the following disclaimer. And please don't take out, you know, a 5-minute segment of what I'm saying that I'm quoting Rav Chaim Knievsky. Listen to the whole presentation. He brings that in the times of Chazal, it was possible to hit and to get some kind of benefit from it. In our generation, where people are very weak and people are very influenced from the street, children today need more explaining, more talking to. They have more kiruv than in earlier generations. And therefore, David Goldberg says, to minimize the haka and minimize the einshim. And furthermore, there's a whole sugya masech the kedushin until when a person is allowed to hit. But the Gemara says that to hit an adult child is an avera of lefnei iver l'sitei mechshel, because they're going to hit you back and they're going to rebel. And the Gemara even says we put you into cherem if you hit an older child. And the Chida says as well that depending on the nature of the child, that would depend whether you're allowed to hit them. And therefore, Rav David Goldberg says you have to be much more careful nowadays not to use the tool of the Shevet, only litzorech gadol, and in a way that you could get some benefit. In other words, even this shita, Rav Chaim Knievsky, which Rav David Goldberg is applying to nowadays, it's highly limiting, because 99% of parents are going to hit when they're angry. You know what? If you're not angry anymore, what are you doing? Yeah. Rare is the parent who waits 3 hours and in a moment of calm, turns to the child and says, "Ya uncle, please come over here. I would like to be mekayim the mitzvah of choseich shivtoi soinei espenoi." And he's not angry and he's calm. Kids look at you like, you know, what planet are you from? But, and you have to make sure you're only to do it if there's going to be a benefit from it and if the kid is not going to hit back. But, says Rav David Goldberg, the most important thing is you have to have a relationship with the child. If you don't have a good relationship with the child, and the hit is somehow going to endanger your relationship, then you're not hitting from a place of chinuch. It's just going to be damaging. However, says Rav David Goldberg, there are people who say today that the whole concept of shevet and oinesh is no longer applicable. Nowadays, just love the kid. And Rav David Goldberg says, he even saw a certain mechanech, a well-known mechanech, says that you can't hit a child even if the child is endangering himself, even if he's going to run into the street. David Goldberg says it's a big mistake, because if there's no, you know, if there's no yiras ha'enesh, if there's no midas hadin at all in the parenting, then it will never be successful. We know Yiras HaOinish is a mitzvah saseh in the Torah. And we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us. And it's our job to follow the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Hashem's our Father, but Hashem doesn't just... Yes, there's an idea that even when Hashem shows us punishment, He still loves us in His heart. Of course, Hashem always loves us. But the manner in which He deals with us is not always outwardly, you know, fluffy and smiley. There are times in life where Hashem, so to speak, shows His love by using the Midas Hadin. And therefore, we have to emulate the ways of Hashem. It doesn't mean, chas v'shalom, our love for a child never diminishes, but just think about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with us. And therefore, says of David Goldberg, there is an element of Midas Hadin in our relationship with a child. Even though, of course, he says, nowadays, the things are different. You have to show the child much more love and much more closeness, and the ahava and the chiba and the kirav has to precede everything. But nevertheless, there is an element of the Midas Hadin. And he brings from the Stipler that if, for example, what would warrant, according to this opinion, the shevet? So, for example, if the child does something really grave, really with great achzarias, or if the child lied, that would be, in this opinion, that would warrant this type of approach. Again, it can't be at a time of anger. You can't, chas v'shalom, hurt the child. It has to be only if your relationship with the child is rock solid and the child knows you're doing it out of love. But when all these criteria are met, there is you can't say that there is no viewpoint today that it's totally off limits. This is the view of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and Reb David Goldberg endorses this view. By the way, Michta Meliyahu also subscribes to this, as did Harav Avigdor Miller, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. But it's well known that Reb Shlomo Volba, who is a great expert in the field of chinuch, had a different viewpoint on this. Reb Shlomo Volba wrote a sefer Zriyo Binyan B'chinuch, and he talks about the parent who is very caught up in this big mitzvah of choseich shivta yisayne b'nai, spare the rod, hate the child. And Reb Volba quotes a pasuk in Zechariah. If you look on your sheet, in number 13, Zechariah talks about him taking two rods. One is called the rod of pleasantness, and one is the rod of physical harm. And Reb Volba says, from here we see that when Chazal talk about the rod doesn't necessarily mean the rod of brute force. It doesn't necessarily mean the rod of a hit or a patch. There is a rod of pleasantness as well. In other words, if you see a child and the child is acting improper and you say, you could do so much better than that. You're above that. Why are you stooping down to that? You know how great you could be? Why would you want to spoil that? So that's a different type of rod. That's the rod of encouragement, but it's still a rod. In other words, to say nothing, you're sparing the rod. But you could utilize a rod of sweetness, a rod of pleasantness. And Reb Volba emphasizes, people don't realize how much harm they inflict when they hit a child. Reb Elia Lapian would always say, with children, only the good path. Only the good path. And Reb Elia Lapian, when he got older, he said he regretted every single time he hit his child. Reb Elia Lapian, when he got older, and he raised 11 children, many of them were great Rosh Yeshiva. And, you know, what did they do already that he hit them? But later on in life, Reb Elia Lapian said he regretted every patch that he gave his children. You know, Reb Volba quotes the Medrash Rabbah that says that every blade of grass has an angel standing over it. And Shekal Esav Esav Yesh Loi Mazol Hamakeu. Every blade of grass has an angel that hits it. Va'amar Loi Gadel. Says Reb Volba, what do you think? There's an angel with like wings flapping over every blade of grass with like a club with spikes in it hitting the grass. Grow! 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 it's unusual for grass to grow when it's being smacked. You take a bat and start hitting a blade of grass, it's not going to grow that much. So what do we see from here? That the word shevet doesn't necessarily mean stick. Shevet means a tool used to engender growth. That's what the word shevet means. Shevet doesn't mean a stick. Shevet means a tool used to engender growth. That's called a hit in the eyes of Chazal. Meaning when Chazal say you need to hit, hit means you need to do something to engender growth. But it doesn't mean you take a bat or a hand, chas v'shalom. So when Chazal say, spear the rod, hate the child, the rod means spear, utilizing a method to engender growth in your child. But the rod doesn't mean a physical rod. Plus, says Reb Volba, we know Chazal say, if you're now to hit a kid who's going to hit you back. You know, a kid, man, you're going to hit a 17-year-old kid. He's stronger than you. Some kids, they're 10 years old, they're stronger than the parent. So obviously you can't hit an older child if he's going to hit you back. You're Ervel Fnei Iver. Says Reb Volba, what about a 3-year-old that you see when you hit them, they would punch you out if they could, but they can't even reach your waist. You see, they're raising their hand, but they're afraid to do it, but you see they're revving up to do it. Ah, so says Reb Volba, just like you're not allowed to hit a child who's going to hit you back, you're not allowed to hit a child who you see in them, they're attempting to defend themselves. In other words, if you see in the gesticulation of the child, in the body language of the child, that they're saying, how dare you do that to me? If I was your size, I'd beat the living daylights out of you. Then you're not allowed to do it. If it's engendering any merida, any rebellion in the child, that's where Chazal say you're not allowed to hit, because you're causing the child to do an avera. It's not just if he's going to do the avera. If you see he wants to do the avera, that's also you can't do. And then Reb Volba says that there's actually something just as bad as hitting, if not worse, and that is screaming at a child. By the way, just as an aside, I'm not here to tell you any psychology. I'm here to teach you Torah, to learn Torah with you. But child psychologists say you're better off hitting the kid than screaming at them. But that's, you know, I'm not here. You could do your own research. But screaming at a child is actually more damaging than hitting the child. Somebody who is not capable of speaking softly and easily gets angry is exempt from disciplining their child. So you say, that's a problem. That's a problem. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes, an Adam Kasan cannot be Moichich. The only thing is, a father is a father is a father. So a person has to be able to learn how to communicate with a child without frustration, without anger, and without physical force. This is the opinion of Volba. Now, if you read his whole essay, it seems like there may be occasions where it's permitted if the child is doing something dangerous or something egregious, and if you do it in a calm manner and in a manner that doesn't hurt. But the upshot is that hitting is not part of the great occupation of teaching children. Okay, by the way, I'm not talking about a Rebbe to a child. You know, Rebbe Yashiv, Rebbe Chaim Pinchas Steinberg, already paskened a Rebbe can no longer hit a child. I believe it is illegal in some states. I have the legalities here, but I'm not talking about Rebbe to a child. Obviously, that's something that has drawn a lot of attention in recent times, and that's not done anymore in the yeshivas. But in terms of a parent, it is generally maintained that Reb Volba's view, although if you read the essay, there might be situations where he would, let's say, allow it, but in his worldview, in the general approach of chinuch, hitting has no place. And in fact, in the Sefer Avnei Shloimei, they bring the opinion of Volba is Bishum Oifen Loy Laharbitz Lialadim. There is no situation to hit a child. Today you have to be mechanich with the staff of sweetness and not with the staff of pain. The ear today is an ear of freedom, of equality. And you see, with you, we see openly, we see experience shows us that you hit a child today, you could be 15 years old, he starts crying. You know, back in the day, they were tougher. They were made of different material. Nowadays, Americans are made out of marshmallows. You go anywhere near them, now they can't handle it anymore. And therefore, he brings Rav Eli Aplian, regretted any time he hurt his child. And then they bring a story that the Rav Volba once said to his Talmidim, you see that student over there? His father took the broom and bashed it over his head. And if he, Rav Volba said, and if you want to know what I think we should take the broom and bash it over the father's head. Okay, so in fact, Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Masoras Moshe, if you look at number 18, Rav Moshe talks about, you know, parents who hit little children. Rav Moshe writes that a parent who hits a little child is clinically ill. Not only that, but you know, people would come to Rav Moshe for, I don't want to get into too many details, for heterim in certain areas of family planning, which Rav Moshe would perhaps be lenient if he saw there was any illness in the parent. If Rav Moshe knew the parent hit the child, in Rav Moshe's mind, the parents were clinically ill, and he would be lenient with them with family planning. So that's how Rav Moshe looked at it. So again, there are two opinions over here. You know, Rav Chaim Knievsky, he has a more literal understanding of what Chazal say. Again, even in the world of Rav Chaim, you know, what are you doing already? You know, once you're not hitting in anger, so now you're totally calm. You bring the kid over. You can't in any way hurt them. You say, Yankel, you know, I'm really disappointed that you did that. And you go like that, you know. So that's what Rav Chaim says. Rav Volba says, you know, what's that going to do? Just imagine today in America, a 14-year-old kid. You're doing it calmly. You're not inflicting any harm. In a way, it's a joke even to do that. I mean, what is that doing? In a way, a stern word could be much more penetrating than some kind of, you know, lightweight tap that you're going to give the child in a moment of calm. You know, if you say to a child, I'm really disappointed you did that. You know, that could be a lot more powerful than even a soft tap, you know, if that's what we're talking about. It's interesting, the Sri Deyesh in Chelek Gimel, Simen Tzadi Hei, he brings a shaila that he received about a parent who was very disappointed that their child got involved in doing magic. So you see how times are changed. You know, imagine today somebody comes to the specialist in chinuch. You know, ayin oil oizen shashama, woe to the ear that has to hear what parents have to endure in our generation. But 100 years ago, you know, what was the worst thing a child did? He was doing magic tricks. You know, doing magic tricks. So, in this tshuva, the Sri Deyesh, Rav Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, he brings that from the pedagogim hamodarnim, the modern pedagogues, meaning modern child psychology teaches us, this is what he quotes, is that not only should you not hit a child today, but you should not use any type of coercion whatsoever in raising your children. Not just physical coercion. Don't take things away from them. Now, again, this is, you know, I'm in it together with you. I'm trying to learn the ropes just like everybody else. But he says not to use any type of coercion, because the way psychology works is any time you use any type of coercion to attain what the parent wants, in today's day and age, with the winds in the air of equality, any type of pressure will create greater stubbornness. So the more you pressure the kid, no, I don't let you do this, I'm going to take it away, and you take it away, then they want it more. So the Sudeish does not recommend the parent take away the kid's magic tricks. He says distract them. You know, the kid was learning well, maybe send them to a different yeshiva, different group of friends, different environment, but he does not, he's not a proponent of any type of coercion, forget about physical, but any type of kafia or bitsua ratzain bekayach. Rabbi Vadi Yosef writes, similar to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, a person is permitted to hit a soft hit to their young child, to mechanech them, not when you're angry, not more than necessary, and not with any kind of instrument, and not in a mean way, in a way that doesn't inflict any hurt or harm. And if you're an angry kind of guy, a good eitz is wait an hour or two. Usually after that, the person has absolutely no interest in doing it at that point. But that's what Rabbi Vadya says. He says better to speak to the kids softly, praise whatever good midah they have, and a child less than 5, you're not a hit at all for anything. And if you hit them, you're a sinner. But to do something soft, that's permitted. Now, Rabbi Vadya says, what's an example of an egregious act that a child could do that might warrant this soft hit? If they're in shul and they're making noise, that is the example of the egregious crime the child might be doing.
What was it?
If they're in shul making noise. The father is allowed to, you know, snap at the kid even in the middle of Shema or Shemana Esrei. And if the kid's not getting the lesson, that calls for Maka Raka Al Kaf Yaday, soft tap on the hand. And you're not allowed to talk, but to do that, that's permitted. And not only that, Rabbi Vadya says even a different person in the shul is allowed to do that. Now ask your local legislator, whether that's within the legalities of your community. But basically, what Rabbi Vadya seems to side with the opinion of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. How about Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman? Rav Aaron Leib Shteinman says, here's the general rule. The general rule is, tolerance and savlanos, you end up getting what you want much more than force. So he's not saying you are allowed to, you're not allowed to. Just a eitza toiva. You gain more besavlanos than you gain with tekifos. They asked Rabbi Aaron Leib Shteinman, is it possible to be mechanech without hitting? Rabbi Aaron Leib said, Shlomo HaMelech talks about the value of the shevet. But says Rabbi Aaron Leib, when Shlomo HaMelech talks about hitting, he means one patch, and that's it. For how long? A very, very long time. How long is that? Maybe a couple of years. So when you talk about someone who spears the rod hits the child, we're talking about, okay, don't spear the rod. But even that rod is once in a very long time. They asked Rabbi Aaron Leib's children that, you know, how their father dealt with them, and Rav Moshe Shteinman said a actual hit was very rare, and only if we did something really bad. Like what? If we were fighting. How sparsely spaced were the hits? A couple of years apart. If you need an app on your phone to have a notification when the time is up, you know, the last time was 4.5 years ago. Maybe, you know, some people, they could, when they check their mezuzahs every 7 years. But again, we're talking about, you know, I don't mean to disparage it. We're, heaven forbid, to do so in a way that inflicts any harm, physical, emotional. It's more of a statement. But it almost seems once, you see, we're taking the whole force out of it. It's almost like, it's almost ridiculous, almost pointless. Not at a time of anger, not in a way that hurts, not in a way that is frightening, not in a way that causes emotional distress. So that in such a situation, not a little young child who can't even understand what you're doing. So at that point, I think it's most people understand instinctively that, you know, a stern word is probably more an effective shevet than the actual physical hit. I just want to end off by understanding philosophically, al pi Tarasenu Hakdosha, how could it be that here on the one hand, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, spare the rod, hate the child. The Mishle is full of the importance of not just giving in to everything a child wants, and the importance of actually using some kind of shevet. And now we're saying, you know, in our generation, things are different. You really shouldn't be hitting. I mean, we can't really apply that to other mitzvah. We don't apply that, chas v'shalom, to any other mitzvah. I mean, it sounds very liberal to say, well, when it comes to chinuch habanim, we have to do things differently today. Is the message of the Torah different? The answer is the message of the Torah is not different. And nothing changed. The Torah value didn't change. But we have to understand clearly what was the purpose of hitting a child that the Gemara talks about, that the Pasuk talks about. You know, because you could ask a question. This is the question of the Minchas Yitzchak. The Minchas Yitzchak, Rav Nissen Karelitz, also asked this question. Here, you ready for this question? Question is that Chazal tell us that somebody who hits another Jew is over a loisase of loisoysef, right? If Bezdin hits excessively, they're over a lav. So how could he hit a child? It's a lav in the Torah to hit a child. Oh, you'll say you're allowed to hit the child for chinuch. Oh, you could hit him for chinuch. That means you're hitting him to train him. That means you better make sure that this is a hit of training the child to stay on the straight and narrow. Because if there's any anger at all mixed into it, or if you're doing it out of your own frustration, or you're doing it because you're just, you know, you've had it, so then this is not a hit of chinuch. It's a hit of anger. It's just taking out, you're lashing out. So then you're back to the lav. It's not like there's a gzeres hakosav in the Torah that you have to go and hit the child. Chas v'shalom, no. You have to be mechanich the child. So you have to make sure, number one, that this is a hit of chinuch. And number two, you know, the Sefer Chassidim writes in number 17, in Ois 9:19, Tav Kuf Yates, that a child who doesn't understand why the parent is hitting the child, you can't hit the child. So it's very, very possible in our generation, you, in your mind, what you're trying to instill the child is very important. But in the child's mind, he doesn't really get what you're doing. If he's not going to understand it, if he's going to be wondering, you know, why is my father doing this to me? Then this is no longer a hit of chinuch. By the way, Rav Nissen Karelitz in the Chut Shani, he struggles with this question. Hitting is a lav. Chinuch is only a derabanan. So how could the drabanan of chinuch somehow override the lav of hitting a child? So he says that even though, you know, the obligation of a father to give a child a lulav and esrog, that specific obligation is drabanan, but there is certainly a biblical mandate that the parent has to ensure the child goes on the right path. So hitting falls into that general, let's say, biblical mandate. But if the hitting is in no way a real response of chinuch, and the child doesn't really understand what you're doing, then it reverts back to its original status, and that is, you can't hit another Jew. So, the bottom line is, there seems to be two general viewpoints. You have the viewpoint of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and Rav David Goldberg, and Rav Avadi Yosef, that spear the rod, hate the child. And there is a rule of shevet, obviously on the right conditions, in a situation where you're calm and you're not frightening the child and you're not harming the child and you're not hurting the child and you're not affecting your relationship with the child. But there is even today scenarios where we apply what Shlomo HaMelech says, Choseich Shivtoi Soni Banai. And then you have the approach of Rav Volba. And in general, this seems to be the more accepted approach, you know, outside in what we'll call homes where the children have a degree of exposure to more than just what they see in the cheder, and the children do grow up with a certain sense of equality and entitlement. It's perhaps counterproductive to take the approach that's mandated by Reb Chaim.
Hitting another person is only allowed if you cause a makkah, if you cause him to bleed.
No.
Where's the love of hitting another person?
Loisoysef
is excessive.
Yeah, more if, let's say...
If you might be damaging.
No, any, even if you don't. If you hit action...
More than 39 malchus because you might kill him.
Yeah, because you must. You can't hit.
39, you can.
But you can't hit. Let me finish up because I'm probably going to go over. I'm sorry.
How do you get malchus?
What?
How do you get malchus?
Once Beis Din mandates the number of lashes you're allowed to get, you give that. If you give one more, then
you... hit?
Yeah, you're allowed... For that, because that the Torah says... But how are you allowed to hit for chinuch? Chinuch is only the rabbanan.
I'm saying psychiatrist is wrong.
One second. Let me just. So these are the two general viewpoints we mentioned from Rabbi Yaakov Yechiel Weinberg, that just practically speaking, when you utilize any kind of coercion, most modern. Pedagogues would say it's counterproductive because you're just sort of you're just engendering greater stubbornness in the child. So, according to Rav Volba, wants to know, so what does it mean, spare the rod, hate the child? Rav Volba says there are different kinds of rods. You know, there's a rod of pleasantness. It's in our generation, it's more advisable to use a rod of pleasantness. If I could add one added dimension to this. In other words, if a parent is going to take sort of the Rav Volba approach, that nowadays a child cannot handle any type, at any age, under any situation, but on the other hand, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know, Choseich Shivtoi Soni Banai, spare the rod, hate the child. You know, how do you deal with that? So, I like to use the following analogy. You know, there's something called capital punishment. You know, there's skila, srefa, harag, v'chenek. But on the, but that being said, was it used? Was capital punishment used? So we know the Mishnah says in Makos and Av Zayin. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that a Sanhedrin, the Mishnah brings an opinion, a Sanhedrin that kills once every 7 years is called like a murderous Beis Din. Understand? They have four types of capital punishment, and if they kill more than once every 7 years, so they're murderers. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says once every 70 years. Rav Tarfon and Rabbi Kiva said if we would be in the Sanhedrin, nobody would ever be killed. Rishim Gamliel says not. You're creating more murderers. What do we see from this Mishnah? Do you think Beis Din put up a sign? Nowadays things are different. No, you know, nowadays nobody, we don't give capital punishment anymore. And you think they advertise this? No. Now Beis Din made it clear there's something called capital punishment. There's something called skila, something called sreifa, there's something called char. Practically, they never did it. But the fact that it existed, that was enough to give people a little bit of the fear of God, that, you know, it kept them on the straight and narrow. In other words, should a parent tell their child, you know, Rav Volba says that nowadays you're not allowed to hit a child, Nowadays, we don't ever give a sheva. We don't ever give a mech. Nowadays, we only give compliments. No, that's chesech shifta yisayne b'nai. Spare the rod means, if you take it out of the realm of possibility, you're sparing the rod. But practically, once every 70 years, at the even that's a lot. In other words, sometimes the fact that a certain repercussion exists is enough of a deterrent. So even according to Rav Volba, here I'll give another analogy. The Sheva Musar talks about, back in the day when Rabbeim would hit, don't worry, I'm not going to do it now. Nowadays, Rebbe is not allowed to use any force. But back in the day when the Rebbe did, the Sheva Musar would talk about that a parent, heaven forbid, should bring their kid into the class and say, Rebbe, don't lay your hands on my kid. No, the kid shouldn't know that the Rebbe's not going to hit. Even if the Rebbe's not going to. Again, that was back in the day when the Rabbeim were all Malachi Hashem Tzavakos and they only did it, with the right intentions. But there's a certain idea that the fact that there is a certain repercussion, albeit it is not used practically. I mean, when you see a police officer, you know when the day there'll be anarchy? When they make a rule that the police can carry a weapon. Now, the police are not walking around using it, but the fact that they have it... So I'm not saying that, that in the forefront of a child's mind, this is a regular mode of chinuch. According to everyone, chinuch, hitting is not part of the regular manner and mode and methodology that we train our children. Even according to Reb Chaim, it's something that's used extremely sparingly, extremely rarely. But even according to the opinion that it's not used, it's not like we're coming and saying, we live in a different time, and this is not something that's on the table, and we would, at least the fact that the possibility exists also has some value, similar to what we say by the Beis Din. Which approach you should follow, you should discuss with your personal Moira Derech and your Rav and your Mashpia. What's the best approach for your particular family? I'll just end off with one tshuva. Before I do that, one second. Yeah, we're already past that. But sorry. I do want to tell you that everything that was mentioned, you have to make sure that you're not violating any legalities, which I do want to make clear and you should be aware of, that in New York, it is not against the law to hit a child. But that doesn't mean that the New York Administration of Children's Services will not get involved in cases of child discipline. Because in other words, even though it's legal, but if the New York Administration of Children's Services gets involved, then they can make the determination that it's abusive behavior. And that is not a scrutiny that any parent wants to be under. So just be mindful, and I'm reading to you from a very good article on the subject in the book Halachically Speaking, that parents should be mindful that of New York FCT law 1012, a child could be considered neglected when his physical, mental, or emotional condition has been impaired or is in imminent danger of becoming impaired due to his parent or caregiver, unreasonably inflicting or allowing to be inflicted harm or substantial risk thereto, including the infliction of excessive corporal punishment. Now, you do not want to be subject to a law that says that you can hit, but it can't be unreasonable. Do you want to be subject to some... who knows who, determining whether what the parent did was reasonable or unreasonable. Now, that's the law of child services. Here's the criminal law. New York Penn Law 3510 is narrower in its definition of justification for use of physical force against children. The law states that a parent, guardian, or personal, or a person trusted with the care and supervision of a person under the age of 21 can use physical force, but not deadly physical force upon such a person, when and to the extent that he reasonably believes it necessary to maintain discipline or to promote welfare. So basically, some states even define how hard is too hard. New York doesn't offer such specifics. Basically, The standard for proving child abuse stemming from corporal punishment is much higher in criminal cases than in family court. So in other words, the danger lies more in you may not be put into jail, but that doesn't mean it won't affect your custody of your children. So that's another thing that's very important to bear in mind. So before you decide which course of action that you're going to use, you have to be very mindful that even though chaysech shivtoi soine benoi, spare the rod, hate the child, but also if you're not going to be in the same house of the child, you also hate your child, you know? So the more important thing is you want to remain in the house. So the bottom line is that in our generation, because of the emotional state of children and because of the realities of the legalities of it, it is not the ideal method to use physical punishment. Especially as we mentioned, you can't do it in anger, you can hurt, it can cause any physical, emotional distress. So, you know, what exactly are you doing? It's usually much more productive to communicate in a clear and firm way. But if I may, I want to end by... interesting. In 1989, sorry I'm keeping you late tonight, but in 1989, the Rabbanut, signed by Rav Mordechai Elion, Rav Ram Shapira, signed a Kol Koire in 1989 that parents are no longer allowed to hit their children. That's in, in Shaus HaTshuvos, Harav HaRashi, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, they signed 1989. That's basically, you know, a yovel ago. Can you imagine if that was in 1989, you know, what would they say in 2023? But I want to share with you the advice from Moshe Feinstein. He says, regarding advice in raising children, there is no general rule. It depends on every boy, every girl. Some children, they do better with firmness. Some children, they do better with sweetness. But says Moshe, most of the time, you're better off with ne'imus and rakus than anything else. Says Rav Moshe, if when Hashem gave the Torah to Klal Yisrael, He spoke to the women gently, then certainly you have to speak to the children gently. The bottom line is the reality of our times is that children are not made of the same stuff that they once were. It's a practice that's fraught with grave danger. And if a person's going to take the approach, and I'm not endorsing either approach, again, this was a shear. This was not specific parenting advice. If a person's going to take that approach, they have to make sure that they're doing it in a way that ultimately is accomplishing the purpose of chinuch, and that is strengthening the relationship with their child and strengthening, ultimately, their child's understanding and commitment to the Torah. And with the proper preparation and the proper learning and the proper tefillah, Hashem should guide all of us to guide our children. And we should all be zoicha to banim uvnei banim, oiskim atar v'mesos. Okay, thank you very much, everyone. Have a wonderful night. Okay. If we may add one important connection to this week's parsha, because this whole discussion began based on the comments of the Medrash, who makes an analogy that when the rock was young, Moshe was to hit the rock. When the rock was older, Moshe was supposed to speak to the rock. So I think it's worthwhile that even when it's deemed appropriate that a person entertains, well, maybe this calls for the shaved or the makkah, a person has to think and make the kal v'chomer from the rock. Because look how drastic the repercussions were when Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to speak to the rock and instead he hit the rock. And if when you're dealing with a rock and you're supposed to speak to the rock and you hit the rock, look what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu lost going to the promised land. Then all the more so, if you're supposed to be speaking to that child and instead you hit the child, maybe you're going to be preventing your family from reaching the promised land, from accomplishing, from becoming what it's supposed to become. So it's worthwhile to have that imagery in your head, that even the great Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was dealing with perhaps consequences not as great, he was dealing with a rock, not a neshama. And even when you're dealing with a rock, how careful you have to be to speak and not to hit. So even when a person thinks it does warrant the shevet, we always have to think, well, we better be really sure that we're supposed to be hitting and not speaking, because if you're supposed to be speaking to that child, the repercussions could be very great. Thank you very much. Wishing everyone bracha v'atzlacha.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.